Welcome to Productivity Talk Radio. Here is your host, Carol Dixon Carr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Productivity Talk, where I interview experts about their perspectives on productivity, business communication, and process improvement to help businesses increase their bottom line profits. We're taking a little break from the Six Sigma and process improvement theme to address a topic that has been near and dear to my heart for years. Strategies for entrepreneurs and solopreneurs to create more and less time in their businesses. Today, I'm here with Ann Rusnick, a.k.a. the Time Diva. She was very successful in both the corporate world and in running her own business. However, like many of us, she reached a point where there just wasn't enough of her to go around. As a result, she suffered a physical meltdown that required her to take a year off to heal. During that year, she found that she only had the stamina to work for a maximum of 15 minutes at any one time. This led to several discoveries about optimizing efforts to achieve ultimate results. As she healed her way back, she found many other people who were headed in the same direction, towards burnout and frustration, and without a guidepost in sight. Anne used her experience and her desire to help others to create her famous Flip Your Time program, that allows people to create amazing results using chunks of just 15 minutes at a time. Thank you so much for joining me today, Anne.
Oh, you're welcome, Carol. It's an honor to be here.
Well, my first question to you is this. What would you say to the entrepreneur whose tasks aren't done completely, even though they've spent quite a bit of time working on them, and usually interruptions and lack of know-how are usually the culprits, the stumbling blocks to them moving forward?
You know, that is a great question, and that is one I get often. And especially with that, you know, I don't know what to do here. I have things planned out, and I find out that lack of knowledge is holding me back. Skills are holding me back, and it puts them in that paralyzing mode. And I think that's one of the things, and I'm going to plead guilty to this too, is that when we take on a project to decide we're going to move forward to something, we often don't realize everything that's entailed in that because, now I'm going to speak for myself, but if most majority of what I have discovered is entrepreneurs were kind of just like me. We just want to dive right in and get moving and going and just get out there without giving too much thought as to what is going to be required. And when you're looking at doing a project, a lot of times, like I said, we just want to just dive in. That's what I call that time management mentality or that employee mentality. We've been brought up that we don't sit down and actually look or plan things out because a lot of times that's already been given to us and we're just supposed to dive in to do it when we're in our jobs. So it's very critical that as an entrepreneur that you – put time in the beginning and look at everything. What am I going to need to do to bring this project forward? And that way you don't get stuck. And as you're moving, and if something does happen, it's not going to throw you back or paralyze you. So just doing some strategic planning in the very beginning and laying out what tools am I going to need, what people am I going to have help me with this, or even what skills am I going to have to learn. And if you're going to have to do skills or learn them yourself, then you're going to have to make sure that, you know, I need to put some time or block some time to learn that. And it may mean delaying that project a little bit longer, which is perfectly okay. So just remember to take some steps backwards, and it'll actually help you moving forward much faster in the long run.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, as a follow-up to that, I've noticed that, especially in my line of work, there are people who are very, very creative, and they just don't want to deal with even trying to put a team together. And that sounds like a foundational thing that they probably should have started with in the beginning. Would you agree?
I would agree. And once again, it just goes back to that mindset that, you know, we come into our businesses as employees, at least the majority of us, and I was one of those as well. And it's a whole mind shift difference. Now, when I call, you got to start thinking outside the clock. And in that, you do have permission to stop and move forward. And I'm hoping I'm going to quote this correctly, but one of my mentors, Melanie Stirk-Benson, she talks about start slow and finish fast. So by taking it slowly to start with, you'll finish it much quicker. And that's a mentality I had to develop, but I don't think it's something that we I don't think it's taught in school that here's how you plan and do projects, or here's how you plan and do things. And it is a skill that as a business owner, that if you develop it, you will find that you'll start getting a lot more done. Plus, you'll figure out whether or not this is even a project that you want to even move forward with. When you see that everything, how much is involved in it, it might be one that you might want to table and say, you know what, I'm going to pick this other one because, you know, I can get stuff faster and quicker and start seeing income coming in quicker with this particular one. So it allows you to even evaluate the kind of projects you want to move forward with.
Yeah, boy. And like I say, some people are just so rebellious about that. No, I would just rather be, as Michael Gerber calls, the technician, and just let me just dive in and do what I'm used to doing as an employee. So this is very important. If they are able to get that strategic plan in place, the foundation, then that, I like that start slow and finish fast metaphor. I hadn't heard that before. Very cool. So
yeah,
how would put, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I actually put that as a post note on my computer, go slow, and I had to stop that. I had to stop from just diving right in and doing that. So that was something I had to learn as well. So if I can learn it, you can learn it too.
Right. Especially if it's an acquired skill that you can develop, then I'm all for it. Hey. So how would you advise a business owner that they achieve their own business goals? It's kind of in the same vein that we were just talking about, but they still need to keep up with their client commitments, since the clients are the ones paying the bills, but then at the same time, their business efforts to date aren't really providing enough cash flow.
Oh, I love this. Thank you for bringing this one up. This is something that a lot of entrepreneurs don't realize what happened, and this is what caused me to go into this exhaustive breakdown trying to keep up with everything. Every business, and it happens, this is a naturally occurring thing that happens in your business. And it starts, when you first get that first customer and you get very excited and you're everything that you did beforehand to get that customer, it's all coming into place. So now your business is starting to experience some success. Now the customer is bringing in money, but that customer is bringing in other things with her too, or him. And that is more paperwork, more commitment, and more demands on your business. And so the more customers you have, the more demands it's going to put on you. And all of a sudden you get in this vicious little circle that the things that you did prior to gaining that first customer all of a sudden take a back burner because they took a lot of effort to do. And so then you don't see that income coming in. So now you're what we call, you're in that multiplicity of stuff syndrome, and it happens in every business. So if you've reached that point, pat yourself on the back, congratulate yourself, and then realize you've got to shift your thinking now. You've got to get out of that time and effort. Now, no longer it equals the kind of results that you want. It's going to start working against you. And you really need to start focusing more on what kind of results do you want. And once again, takes a little bit of planning and takes some strategy to do that. But it's going to happen in every business. And you'll have to make a decision at that particular point is how do you want to handle all of the different tasks that are involved. And you often hear about, you can outsource. And that's a whole new skill. So it isn't always as easy as people make that sound. But at this particular point, when you've reached this in your business, you need to look at the kind of activity you're doing. You need to make sure you're still doing the activities that brought you that business while you're still maintaining your customers. And it's actually what we call flip your time. It's actually a balance of how to do that and start going into that 80-20, or what we call the thinking outside the clock, and applying some different strategies in that. And know that, hey, I'm in this multiplicity of stuff syndrome. Look at the first thing and say, what do I want to get rid of? And then start working on what you need to get rid of the one thing that's bugging you the most.
Oh, I like that phrase, multiplicity of stuff. That's really cool. So you shared a few steps how to ease that overwhelm. Is there maybe a couple more nuggets that you might want to share with us on how to ease the overwhelm when you're in the throes of the multiplicity of stress syndrome?
Well, one of the things, and you know, I was caught up in this, Carol, myself, and you know, and not only for my business, you know, I'm juggling family and my daughter and everything else, and I was just finding this additional time management was just not meeting these needs. And when I collapsed and was taken to the hospital and then had to recover, I actually went and found some mentors who I saw were able to do a lot of the things that I couldn't do, and they were having a life. And I'm like, you know, I started my business to have a life, and I started thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, at least with my job, I had at least 5 weeks off with me. And I was looking at my business. I'm going, well, what's wrong here? One of the things that my mentor taught me, my mentor Margaret, she told me I needed to take time off. And I'm like, and I thought she was totally lunatic. I'm going, wait a minute, lady. You don't understand. I've been in bed now for 3 months straight. I can start to get out. I've got all this pile of stuff to do. What do you mean I got to take time off? And she pointed out that taking time off is very critical to getting a lot of the stuff under control. And it sounds like an oxymoron or like that can't be true. That's not going to work that way. And, you know, it basically she has told me you've got to flip everything that you've learned upside down. Mm-hmm. And that's where you can flip your time. And so she told me when you take time off, here's what happens, is that your brain begins to rejuvenate. It begins to get unplugged. And when your brain is rejuvenated, it can start to see solutions to the problems.
Really?
And, yeah, not only that, you also look at, hey, if I'm taking these days off, this means I only have so many days to get this work done. And so then you learn to prioritize exactly what it is that you need to do. Not everything that you're doing needs to be done. And that was so helpful. Now, I balked at doing that, and I fought at first, and she reminded me that I agreed I was going to listen to whatever she said. This was part of our mentoring agreement, and I said, okay, I'll give it a try. And Carol, I have to tell you, it was so hard doing that because, you know, my business is in my home. I was running it, you know, an office here, and it was just like calling me. So I think it took me months to finally let go of every business thing so it did not come in my mind and enjoy a true day off. And it felt so good. I'm now addicted to them that if I don't get those in, if I don't put them in like I'm supposed to, which is very rare, I feel the effects like immediately. So taking time off will actually bring you more money, believe it or not.
Most definitely. Yeah. I remember that might have been 3 years ago when I heard, I think David Allen said this, downtime is productive time. And when I try and tell clients that, they're like, what? And the way you communicated that is exquisite. You get your...
Thank you.
Yeah, it's... your brain needs work. And I'm telling you, your body will tell you after a while. Oh, shoot, I don't have to tell you that. I'm preaching to the choir. Your body did tell you that in a very compelling way. But even in the short term, people might end up, I mean, I remember a lady on Twitter just recently, she was trying to get a product lunch out, and she hadn't slept for like 20 hours, and then she ended up getting really ill on the day of the launch. And I'm like, girlfriend, your body's talking to you, and she did finally sleep. So there's something to be said for that.
Yeah,
so you had mentioned about, you know, having your daughter there, and so it makes me think about the entrepreneur who wears several hats. A lot of times it's women, but I'm not going to be gender specific. They might run a business with their spouse, and they might even homeschool their children, so they've got that going on. They might be struggling with setting their hours, and they're still not able to get enough done during the day, and so they end up working those evenings and weekends and find it hard to catch up. So how do you advise that people in this situation get everything done?
First of all, you're not going to get everything done. You're going to die with a to-do list. And then when I tell my clients that, they're like, oh, yeah, I mean, you're just not going to get everything done. And to drop that mentality, what you need to do is get the important things done. And that's what you make that decision that what do I really need to do at this particular moment? And when we're running our businesses, there's actually what we call three what I call zones. And one is your business zone, One is your family, friend, or social zone, however you want to classify it. And the other one is the me zone, you know, that time for me, things for me zone that often gets very neglected. And every one of those zones has activities that that are competing for that same time block. So it's important, what I did that helped me out once we collapsed was I actually kept my zones separate, because whatever affects one zone is going to affect another zone. And with my daughter, because my daughter at the time, now she's in college, but at the time she was small, and I still had things to do when she'd come home from school. And I made a bargain with her and told her, says, look, Mom still needs to work like another hour, and so if you can amuse yourself or if she did something in my office, that was fine. I gave her Fridays as her day. And so Fridays when I picked her up from school, I was done with work. So I had a short work day on Fridays. Mm-hmm. And then she can pick whatever activity she wanted. And you know what? I charge her those mom days to this day. And then she finally had a brew where she didn't want mom around anymore. That
I'm looking
so
forward to that.
Remember, when you started your business, you started, at least I did, I wanted that flexibility. I went through the corporate world with my eldest daughter. I did not want to repeat that with my second one because I just missed so much with her. And so the idea was when I started my business was I wanted that flexibility to be able to, you know, go to, you know, her plays and mm-hmm. do things. And so I just made a more conscious effort that I just looked at the activities and decided which were the 20% that were going to make the biggest difference, get those done. And we actually created until I got a housekeeper, what I call eco-friendly environment for dust bunnies. So,
oh.
So they're always going to be there. I find that dust bunnies were the most patient creature on earth. They just wait for you. And if you ignore them, you know, they'll just go get some friends and hang out with their friends for a while, you know. So they're great, great little loving creatures. And eventually you can, like, shoo them out the door. But look at what is important. And to me, like my mother having her house always spotless and always clean, I remember my mother having a clean, spotless house. I don't remember going out and having fun with my mother. And so I thought, I want my daughter to have memories of the fun of having fun things to do with her mom. She may not remember the house being messy or anything, but she talks about the things that we used to do. And so having those memories, I think, are more important. So look at that. Remember, you've got those three blocks. You're not going to get everything done.
Mm-hmm.
Decide out of those three zones, what are the most important? And that is that 80-20. Pick the most important things that are really going to make a difference. And, you know, eventually some of that stuff will eventually get done. Or you can make a decision, is it really all that important?
Right.
That that time management mentality is cram, 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 and do, do, do without even thinking, do I really need to do this?
Right, right. Goodness. You know, I resonate so much on so many levels. It's cool now that my 8-year-old actually seems really interested in what I'm doing. So she knows a lot about the whole social networking even. So it's really kind of a hoot, and she's learning how to do a number of the things that I do with certain projects. So there are cool... there are perks to them actually being interested in what you're doing as well. So, you know, if you kind of blur the business and family, it's not a horrible thing necessarily, as long as you have your time with that person exclusively as well, which I think that's what you were saying.
Yeah, and that's what helped me out. So I've been working constantly in that office was to put those zones in. And set some boundaries, and that did it. Made a big difference. And my daughter was really great at, Mom, work time is over. And I'm like, okay, all right. Now my cats do that. If I decide I'm going to work through lunch, which is very rare, they let me know because that's their petting time. So it's like, okay, all right, we'll stop, come out of the office and give you guys all your pets while I'm eating lunch. So even leave your office. Get in the habit of leaving your office. Even if you're going to walk over into the living room or family room, get out of your office. So, and you'll even find those smaller little breaks will even boost your brain too. But as entrepreneurs, we seem to think that, you know, our business is 24/7. And I don't know why. Maybe it's an entrepreneur gene that's put in us, and we have to just, so we need to do this. But, you know, put some boundaries in and just say, when do I want to work? You know, what hours do I really want to work?
Yeah, and it's also a challenge when you really love what you do, too. So the lines get blurred again, and you're, like, excited about what you do. But, yeah, you got to really have to think about that, because your family might not necessarily love what you do. Not necessarily, right?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Another thing, too, is get your family support to make a big difference. Letting them know, hey, if I'm doing this, this is the income that I bring in. Guess what? We can do with this income.
Exactly.
And so let them know, you know, here's the consequences of if you don't let me do it, and here's the consequences if you let me do the work. And you'll find your children and your spouse will work along with you. And just like you did, Carol, you know, my daughter got involved in my business. I mean, she did things, and it's actually helped her in her going when she went to college. That's how she was able to organize projects and get things done and be able to do things. She learned a lot of her skills through, you know, working with me in my office. And I really missed her when she left. I had to go find a replacement. But your children will learn some very valuable skills in assisting you.
I think so. Most definitely. Now, one of the biggest concerns with working at home that I hear from a number of my clients, and I'm assuming that's true for you, is that they have to cope with some of the unexpected interruptions in their planned schedule. So how would you address that issue?
Well, that's, once again, I'm going to go into our flip your time system. We operate off of three universal laws. One is, the biggest one is the 80-20 rule. The second one is success is messy. And the third one is life is going to happen. That's all there is to it. You can't prevent life from happening. Now, you can control some interruptions. A lot of it's going to do with how you respect your time. So if you respect your time and put boundaries on your time, it will eliminate the majority of those interruptions. Now, there's just some that are just going to happen. There's nothing you can do about. You just have to kind of go with the flow. And the things that I've taught my clients, that if you have certain things in place, certain things in order, it will not take you that long to get back into the groove again. Just know, hey, life is going to happen, and you just go with it, and when whatever that crisis is that's done, then you just go back to what you're doing, and eventually things will catch up again. You know, and a lot of people understand that, too, because, you know what, life happens to them as well. But as far as I said, if you put some boundaries on your time and, you know, let people know, hey, you know, I'm serious about working here in my home. This is one of the things that I know with some of my clients is people think just because you're at home, you've got all this free time. Why they think that, I have no idea. And you've got to let them know, like, hey, just because I'm not getting dressed up, getting in a car and driving somewhere does not mean I'm not doing anything.
Okay.
And so letting people know that these are my hours, and I think that's the first thing to establish, Carol, is business hours. These are the hours that I am working. These are the hours I answer the phone. One of the things, too, if you caught me tweeting, if you're one of my followers, you notice I say I'm in going into super focus mode.
Mm-hmm.
And that means Twitter's off, email's off, my phone is off, and I have a bad habit of not turning my phone back on. Everything is off. My timer is on, and I stay 100% focused on what is at hand. Then when that timer goes off, then it's like, okay, we can go check everything. I can go Twitter or whatever it is I need to do. But I don't let anything interfere. I keep those kind of interruptions out. So you can set those kind of boundaries to, you know, minimize the number of interruptions. Same thing with children. I know some of my clients, they have children at home, and it's also summer. And you know what? I didn't fight summer. I just cut my hours back during the summer. Here in Cleveland, we only get like 2 weeks of summer. So I was not going to miss 2 weeks of summer. You know, I love hot, humid weather. I thrive in it. So the last thing I want to do is be in my office anyway. I just adjusted. I worked less hours during the day, maybe did more things in the evening. So I adjusted my schedule to accommodate that. Also, once again, you know, I want to go out to the pool. Well, half the time we were in the ice rink with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be and do those things outside. I want to go, you know, go out on a picnic or, you know, decide to go to the movies in the middle of the day. And so allow for that. Know that, hey, my kids are going to be home. So let me adjust my schedule for that. You can adjust your hours for that as well. You're the boss. Remember, you're the boss. You're in control of your business. And your children, too, can learn the same respect. Say, hey, these are my hours that I'm working. You need to go amuse yourself. You can't have friends over either. I think that's another one that a couple of my clients experienced, that mm-hmm. all of a sudden people, you know, the parents who maybe work would send their kids over to the mom who's supposedly at home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to lay the rule down. Hey, I am working. You can't send your kids over here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, sorry, you know, of course, you know, you may sound like, oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. I mean, would they send their kids to your workplace?
Right, exactly.
So kind of think about this. Now, and you can let your children know, hey, you know, this time, between this time, your friends are more than welcome to come over and play. And so there's things you can do and put in place to help keep some of those interruptions out.
Okay. Well, we've got about a little less than 3 minutes left. And in that same vein, do you think you might be able to have time to share maybe a particular tool to be more effective? Maybe if there's, you know, some people use planners, some people use PDAs. Do you have a recommendation? I know one size doesn't fit all, but if you had some recommendations, that'd be great.
As far as particular planners or PDAs, whatever, that's going to be a personal choice. My best time management tool, believe it or not, and I've got the planners, I've got the calendars, is the timer.
Me too, Anne. Very cool. Yep, me too.
Is my timer. And I've got several. I don't live by one timer. I've got one on my computer, one on my desk. They're all over the place. I have found setting that timer is probably the best tool that I have to really maximize my clock time. And so, if nothing else, have a timer
mm-hmm.
and know what you're going to do during that time. So, yeah, you can have all kinds of fancy planners. I've got them also. You know exactly what I'm going to do at what time. But I said, without that timer, they probably wouldn't get done as efficiently as they do. So I do. I highly recommend just get a timer.
Yeah, and they have free ones online. Very cool. All right. A woman after my own heart. Do you have any parting words of wisdom before we close? We got a couple of minutes left, and I also want them to know how they can get a hold of you if they want to work with you.
Okay. Well, you know what? Your time, I'm just going to put, your time is your most, this is a quote that I got from Jim Rohn, is that your time is your most valuable asset. Yet we tend to waste it, kill it, and spend it rather than invest it. And if you see me tweet, I often will say, I'm investing my time doing this. I'm investing my time doing this. So look at investing. How am I investing my time?
All right. So they can get a hold of you at a number of places, www.just1515minutes.com/blog. Is that the best place to find you?
That is one of the best places. It's actually a great starting point. A lot of great tips there. Sign up for the weekly digest, and you'll get a condensed version of anything that I've talked about or shared about for the week. And, you know, I keep mentioning the thinking of outside the clock strategies here. You can actually get a whole lot of those. I've got 10 great ones that you can use, and there is a button on the just15minutes.com site that says free time class. Click on that button and take that class. You'll get 10 additional strategies on how to maximize your time.
Awesome. And we're counting down on less than a minute. So I want to thank you so much for coming out to the show and talking with me. We're kindred spirits on this issue. It's nice. Very nice. So I'm hoping that they'll go out there to www.just15minutes.com/blog and check you out. Thank you so much for playing, Anne.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to be here, Carol.
All right, take care. You have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.